I'll squeeze my children's hands when I feel the moment of death approaching, so they won't miss the sight of my spirit flying free. I've been ready to give up for months, but they keep telling me how much I'll be missed. At times, I've wanted to die in my sleep, but then how could I be sure that my spirit won't be lost and end up in the wrong place? I've asked Ronnie to find a Native American healer to be present and play a flute. He or she can intercede with the spirits for a safe journey out into the universe. I don't want to be trapped in Twinella with my Finnish ancestors. Am I scared? Well, who wouldn't be? I worry about the pain of dying and wonder what my final thoughts will be. Will I be grateful for the life I've lived or bitter at leaving? Will I look back on the good times or worry about things left undone? Those stories about near-death experiences seem to prove that our spirits live on in another time or place. I'll try to visualize my passing as a transition to another realm. The idea of reincarnation once appealed to me, but no more. I've suffered too much in this earthly life and have no desire for another realm. My body will be cremated and my spirit freed. I'll float among the clouds and migrating birds. But what will become of my memories? Will they attach to my spirit or be inherited by future generations and mistaken for their own past life experience or disappear? After my immediate family dies, will it be as if I never existed? Before I reach my final destination, I'd like to let Ronnie know that I'm safely on the other side. Although human brains might be unable to grasp the existence of other realities, she and I have been sharing ideas on how to communicate as if it were possible. A picture falling off the wall or a light flashing on and off could alert her that I'm nearby. I might be able to open or close a special book, leave marks on her bedroom wall, or pull back her bed covers to gain her attention.
Mom, that's creepy,
she says, grimacing as she sits on the side of my bed in her black spandex gym shorts, her hair pulled back to her ponytail. She's been losing weight and seems pleased with herself.
You'd be like a stalker in a psycho movie.
Any better ideas, I ask, rubbing the shiny brown skin of her arm.
You could refill the bird feeder or clean the kitchen floor like you used to do.
Would you notice if I did?
Maybe.
She shrugs her shoulders. We'll need to make another plan. In my next existence, I won't be mopping floors.
The holiest water bird was the swan. With its long neck, it could look into all levels of the world, including Twinella, the land of the dead.
I've read that gazing into a mirror allows contact with the spirits of the dead. It sounds easy enough. Just sit in a quiet, dark room and stare into a mirror until the image of a person emerges. But it could take hours, and anyone might show up. A deceased with unfinished business might confront you instead of the person you expected. When I mention it to Ronnie, she jumps off my bed and shakes her head.
What about Bloody Mary?
I hadn't heard about Mary, a woman said to appear in a mirror if her name is called three times. Ronnie was told that Mary arrives covered in blood, or she's a corpse, a witch, or a ghost. You never know what she'll do. Ronnie says that Mary might steal your soul, curse you, or strangle you and drink your blood. I'm surprised to hear that she's had this fear since third grade and hasn't told me.
I never do anything three times, just to be safe,
she says.
Not even checking if the doors are locked or saying I love you.
I've also read that in most cultures, the living fear that the dead will return to seek vengeance and drag them into the netherworld. Hopefully, Ronnie will be spared from the wrath of my ancestors. But what of her own East Indian kin? Would her birth mother return to express regrets that she'd abandoned her, or be angry that Ronnie hadn't found a way to return to her homeland?
You try it,
Ronnie says.
But don't ask for Bloody Mary.
If I stared in a mirror long enough, who in my family might pop up? Would it be my brother, who died only days after his birth? Family rumor has it that baby Leo was born without eyes and smothered to death by Hulda, who feared the cost of raising him would send her family into the poverty that she'd struggled to escape. Would Leo be angry that I came along next and replaced him? Or perhaps I'd be greeted by the spirit of the baby I aborted in Mexico City in the years before Roe v. Wade. What could I say to that child? Neither of us has the courage to try mirror gazing.